everyone. You're joining us to this series of talks with the Rav Lightman. With us in the studio is Rav Lightman, of course, and Nitza. Hello, Rav Lightman. And Rav Lightman, we'd like to begin a new direction in our talks with you, in which we will try to explain to the Israeli public, to the nation of Israel, in an emotional, warm way, and in a way that they'll understand what we actually have to offer them. Well, first of all, we have to understand that we are in a very special time. The situation itself, we should understand where we are. We are in a state in which the entire world is against us. There is no country in the world that actually supports Israel. Even if they sometimes display a kind expression. And it's not only the policy of the world, it comes from the attitude of the nations of the world towards Israel that once again have grouped together. Just like when, and actually it's never been before in the past to this extent, if a country would take us in, I'm sorry, if some country would expel us, other countries were happy to take us in. Of course, it wasn't out of them liking us, but because they had some future gain from it, and they thought that they would be able to gain something from it. So these are special times. We have nowhere to run. It's very reminiscent of the times when Jews wanted to escape from Nazi Germany, and they went on the ships, and nobody would take them in, not North America, not South America, no country would take them in until they came back, and directly from these ships, they were taken to work camps until they disappeared in that furnace. So this is the situation we're in right now, and again there is the same question: why us, and what are we special? And also the entire world is saying that we are special people. We would have already liked to escape from this bitter specialness, except we're always being reminded of it. And this is what is really written even in our Bible, in our Torah, that we are special, and it's probably true. In our book of fate, it was deemed so. And all of the nations of the world think and have a secure internal feeling that is natural, and it's as if a person was born with it, each and every one. You don't even need to teach him or explain it to him or remind him of it. He has this internal feeling that, yes, the troubles in the world are due to the people of Israel, that there is such a nation. Even if we don't have our own state, the Jews in the world are the ones who are to blame for all of the problems in the world. It doesn't matter if there are just 15 million people in the entire world, and that 90% of them didn't even hear about it. It doesn't matter even that none of them actually knows what they're special in and how do they cause all this damage in the world. The nations of the world feel it in this way. And so we should see that this is the beginning, the point of truth from which we need to begin to see the world in a realistic way. And we can't escape from it or erase this point. It won't help us. It will be like sticking our head in the mud as if there are no troubles and there are no problems and nobody that's threatening us. This is maybe okay for one weak person or a few weak people, but not for the entire nation, especially in such a time which is so so grave and fateful. So whatever happens, we need to know more about what we're special in and go to our roots, where it's written, where you can see that it's written all about this and our history since then, from then until today. It's been as a proof to this truth of what our forefathers, the fathers of our nation, meant thousands of years ago, from the times of Abraham until today. You know, over all this time that's passed that we've gone through, and it's written also in the wisdom of Kabbalah that our basis, our foundation, is the wisdom of Kabbalah, which is the wisdom of the that which is concealed. It speaks of the forces and the hidden actions and those that are hidden from the normal eye. And we must learn and discover it as it is in itself, calling to us and inviting us. So that we'd finally begin to use it, because the time has come and we must out of it begin to see what we must do, not even in order to be saved physically from this threat, but to understand the system of this reality, the cause and the process and the purpose of the world, and what role, special role, we are playing by this, in this process. The modern world began from Jews and the Torah and our culture and everything. And actually, is it going to end by this, with Jews? The wisdom of Kabbalah tells of our times. And then we need to give them, tell them about how special this people is, how it came from Babylon as a group, and that the entire purpose of the world is to bring everyone into being as one, unified, so that all shall come together, the whole entire world shall come together as one man in one heart, and for all the evil to come to turn into good, as is written in the prophets. That the wolf and the sheep will and the lamb will live together. And this can only happen on the condition that the nation of Israel will play its role, its part. That it must bring the entire world to peace, to wholeness, to connection, up until love thy neighbor as thyself, love thy friend as thyself. And if the people of Israel does not fulfill its destiny, its role, then in accordance to that, those same forces that it had to calm down, to balance, to connect them, they act in the opposite, against him. And this is what we're feeling. So that the wisdom of Kabbalah what we're feeling all over the world, that nations are and people are rising against us, as has happened in every generation, is because we in every generation are not have not been prepared to give the correct response to all of these forces. We've not been able to explain what's happening in the world and to unify all of these forces under us. And really, all throughout history, it had to be this way. Until we began to return to the land of Israel at the end of the 19th century. Until we began to build the settlements here at the beginning of the 20th century. And all of these thousands of years, we had to be integrated with the nations of the world, as is written, that Israel did not go into exile unless to join and to purify the souls of the Gentiles, to insert into them the sparks of bestowal, seeds of unity, of connection, that so that later through them, through what we've seeded in them and planted in them throughout our exile, we'd be able to later use this to connect them to us, under us, in order to become as one, unified. And then what is the wisdom of Kabbalah telling us? That Abraham developed it. We need to add here that somehow that he discovered it, how he discovered it. And how he left Babylon, where he advertised this wisdom and explained that how to solve the crisis that took place there in Babylon. And this is something that we should probably not go into depth, because we've already explained this widely. And this is actually our basis, our religion, what our nation was founded on, as one man in one heart, in the mercy of Abraham, connection between everyone, unity, despite and as opposed to all the other opinions which existed in Babylon, which were just like is happening right now. And Abraham tried to advertise it there, and then Nimrod persecuted him, and so he left Babylon with his group. There were thousands that went with him, just like the Rambam wrote. And this is actually our nation. So then the foundation of the nation is the ideological connection, and not the corporeal connection that we have some special territory or language, a special closeness in the families, in genes or anything. Nope. All in all, it's the same Babylonians. There were lots of tribes, tens if not hundreds of tribes that lived there in Mesopotamia. And the ones that heard about it and felt that it was right for him to connect to this approach to life, then he became a part of that group of Kabbalists. which over time, since from the mountain of Sinai and onwards, began to call itself the nation of Israel. Today you have become a people, as is written there. So Israel comes from Yeshalkel, being directed towards the Creator, towards bestowal, the love of others, which is the essence of the upper force. And we need to understand from today that this same direction continues. The same tendency, the same plan, and this plan is demands to be fulfilled. And we today find ourselves in the same situation, in the same crisis which existed in ancient Babylon. And all the nations are desperate, despairing of what is going on. So, of course, it's in their nature to turn to us as usual and blame us for everything that they're feeling. And we just need to understand that there is the upper force that is aiming all of this, that is directing all of this. Because it is in the plan of creation for us to fulfill this message, to be as a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, and to bring the entire world to a state in which my home will be called a house of prayer to all of the nations, and all the nations shall come to it. And we need to organize these things and to bring them to their fulfillment. It is now the time, just like the Kabbalists write to us, that now is the time. And we have no other action left, no state situation in order to fulfill it, not in time, not in place, and not in the action itself. But it is in all of the power of our desire for fear of suffering and death that we need to enter what the wisdom of Kabbalah is telling us. And all of this internal pressure and tension and coming together due to grief and anxiety that is so great, we need to turn it and aim it to the fulfillment, the internal fulfillment of the connection between us. So much so that we'll understand how we need to be united as truly as one man and one heart in order for us to be saved, because it is in to the extent that we are connected and united that we are able to bring our salvation. And we mustn't pray to anything else except for unity. And it is this unity, this connection, that needs to be aimed so that after we've connected and united, then we turn to the relations in the world and correct them, the ones that are causing the general crisis, the global crisis. And by that, we correct all of the human ego. And then the world will reach its final calm state. as is written in the Prophet. This is the time we could have done this at the beginning of the 20th century, as Balasulam said in his time, and ask the Jews, turn to them with the Ummah newspaper, and also before that, when he was a judge in Warsaw, and he turned to the Jews there to at least leave Poland and come to Israel and leave Europe. And then he was boycotted, and he himself had to escape Europe even without his family, which needed to come afterwards. And all those who banned him, they died in the camps, in the death camps of Hitler. And we, as he writes, are the remnants of the nation which must here in the land of Israel to complete the correction. Because today the state has become even more critical and special. Because the entire world has entered this general crisis. And the ego, this Haman, this Pharaoh, which is stirring in the human nature, they themselves, as is written about Pharaoh, bring the people of Israel closer to their father in the sky, as is written. So this entire crisis, which is causing the world to suffer and bringing it to such suffering and threat and difficult situations of lack of health and food and peace, and all of these states, of course, will make them turn to Israel. And because the crisis today is so worldwide and it includes within it everybody, then there is no solution that is temporary in anything. No, the general ego demands its correction, and the correction has to be only in the rising above of this ego into unity, as is written. And here we need to give the well-known quotes from the prophets, from the wisdom of Kabbalah. Well, this is actually the first call into which we need to put all the things that we talked about throughout maybe even the past few years. There's nothing special here, but I think that this call needs to be multifaceted. And once we should talk about scientific proof, and then about psychological proof, and maybe economic proof, and another time talk about proof from education, culture, or I don't know, but the main thing is this, that it's aimed towards the threat, and that this threat is coming from above. And that we see that this is a phenomenon of nature, and this is how we also need to relate to it, and there's nowhere to run to. If we thought that we could escape from some country, then no, there's nowhere to run. But we instinctively, like animals, run away from the fire. But actually, the solution is not in this, is not by escaping or running away, and it won't help us. We must fulfill our purpose. And that's it. The first stage in our advocacy that you raised is the matter of the purpose and destiny of the Jewish people. Why is it so hard for us as a nation to understand or even feel? Because people don't feel it. Maybe if we could feel it, it would be easier for us. Because we subconsciously immediately run away from it. Why should we? It's obliging. You're saying that a role or... if you have a role, it's something that obliges you, and so that's why you want to run away from it. It's a responsibility. If we were a strong nation, rich, smarter than everyone, one that rules everybody else, would we run away from this role? No. Because it doesn't oblige you, and the opposite. This is very interesting. I'm trying to see the parallel between the individual and society, because one of the things that excite the individual today and what he'd like to discover is what is his fate, what is his destiny. I see this a lot, that people are searching for their destiny and their purpose, and without which they feel that they're not fulfilled. Here, as a nation, it doesn't work. Because we need to unite, and this is against the ego. There, it's in favor of the ego. Okay, I understand. So if, and as an individual, I understand that if I find my fulfillment, I'll fill myself with joy. And as a nation, it's against the ego. So what could help us to transmit this message about our destiny, our purpose, in a way that the nation will accept it, even enjoy with joy and happiness, and will feel it in their heart? Only if the nation will feel that it's under existential threat, the threat of annihilation. Otherwise, it won't hear us. We're now advertising these things. We need to continue to advertise them, but not this plan that I'm talking about. This is a plan that's still in the drawer, which we need to prepare for when the people feel the troubles. And then they'll open their ears. Before that, no. And before that, we continue to do this on lower levels, on a small fire. We go and talk and write and some books, some newspapers. We try. If we could say it that way. But we turn to the desire. And if the desire is still not open, if it's closed, then there's nothing we can bring to it to put inside it. How do you think it would be possible to talk to you in the studio in order to develop this contents and prepare it for the time in which people will be ready to accept it? I don't know, because there's a lot of material and contents from before. All right, what we have. We don't need you for that. So there's tons of it. But what we maybe do not have is, after this initial explanation, the role, what we need to do, how the people of Israel that unites will cause the power of unity and bounty to go to all of the people, as is written in the book of Zohar. After all of these explanations, we need to explain how to actualize it. So how do we actually unite? How do we approach each other? Through what do we perform these actions of unity? Hearing and understanding that there is no choice. It's okay, but now we need to explain to the people. Imagine that you are desperately ill. You are desperately ill and forced to to go through this procedure, this treatment, and the treatment is in that we all need to unite between us, to connect, to discuss, using these activities that professionals are administering, just like in laboratories, or not laboratories, where do you give treatments? In health clinics, just like in health clinics, where there's a nurse or even a doctor, or it depends what kind of treatment it is, or even a few of them, and they administer the treatment to a person. So this is how we also do it. We have, thank God, what we've prepared in advance, people that we've prepared, activists who can explain, who can give lectures, who can treat from all of all types. And they need to take you and put you through this process, this treatment. What does this mean? You sit and talk and discuss. They read special quotes about connection, about our nature, about our purpose, our unity, and our etc., just like we do in our workshops. And then they talk. And when you talk, you need to be a bit less than each other, a little more than the other, to give each other this good feeling of the good future, to smile at each other, like in our theater and so on. So through all kinds of such possibilities that we have in our nature, we need to use them in order to advance as quickly as possible towards unity. And in this unity, we'll experience suddenly a special advancement, so that after we've begun to talk, even 10, 15 minutes, an hour, half an hour, I suddenly feel that I come out with such an excitement. There's such new desires, feelings, thoughts. I look at myself differently, at the world differently, and even at those people that I spoke to just half an hour ago, they seem so different, and now they feel so close. And then we learn that unity, connection, is truly in our nature, even more so than in any other place in the world. That even though we're a very egoistic nation on the one hand, we have this internal inclination towards connection. And really, this inclination is very deep, it's internal, it's there. Except we would always repress it, we would hide it more and more deeper in. So now let's let it out and see how within a number of such workshops we suddenly feel ourselves as close together. We feel suddenly how inside our connection that is artificial, this small inclination that we artificially develop in these workshops, we suddenly find this very powerful internal force inside there that is revealed between us, that begins to hug us, to connect us. And this is our salvation, which needs to be there for us and save us, and then save the entire world afterwards. And this is the upper force, the force of love. And therefore, our entire approach, our aim, this new thing that we're bringing to the world, is love thy neighbor as thyself, love thy friend as yourself. So we need to open up for them this series of practical actions in all kinds of forms for them to participate in it. And feel how well it works. We can show them theater bits and how you need to behave, to explain to them, first of all, what is a workshop, how 10 people, to give an example, how they sit, how they talk, or maybe show them how it happens in the living room at home or at some place in their town. People don't know. They just come and sit. Like older people, if you invite them to talk, to sit together, this is how people, like a community center, this is how people need to be. And then you give them like a short video that explains what is this action. Yes, we've come to our community center in this evening or in the living room, doesn't matter where. And it explains how we participate in all kinds of activities. On one channel, you have an activity for community centers where people come and to do these workshops. And in the different channel, you have activities for single people or for a couple that's sitting in the living room. That's a different kind of connection and participation, and so on. And then you explain to them, first of all, in such short films, just like, you know, how to put on your air mask and how to or gas mask and how to hide in the shelter, and then the act itself, where they see the lecturer on the television screen explaining to them, you know, just like I read a small excerpt and explain it, and then tell them, okay, this is the question. Let's try and answer it, like you do in your workshops. Of course, in an easier, more comfortable way. The most important thing is not the understanding, but the emotional participation. And that's it. We don't need to evoke in them this internal search, where are my internal forces? And no, it needs to be, because we're not talking about quality but quantity, they will immediately feel how much it influences them. So this is what we need to prepare them for. And maybe there will be other ideas, so we need to think about them. But this is what we need to do. And of course, we need to have songs and games, activities for kids, activities for the elderly, and for those who are in the ages between them. For everybody. Everybody has to participate in this. We need to go out to the parks. Maybe twice a week even, or another day. Maybe we have another day of rest during the week to go out to the parks, because we only have Saturdays, a day that a third of the state of the country can't allow itself to go out and do all these activities of connection. So let's create a special day for it, even Friday, on which we will go to the parks and have like half a day of connection, of unity activities, each one between everybody, and each one will come there. So let's spread a big map on the grass, not a map, a big blanket. And then we'll come there with our special hats, maybe, and games and special activities. And first we'll have advocacy films, explanation films, and then the activities in the parks. So the films, the clips, will explain the activities, and then we'll have the activities. Right, in the films, in the clips, we will explain what these activities are for, that they're not just for fun. Okay, our time for this talk is up, so we'll end here. Thank you for now, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you, our viewers, for being with us. Until our next talk, all the best, and goodbye.